All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a huge treat because this is one of my own personal conspiracy heroes, probably one of the very first human beings that actually woke me up to conspiracy thinking in the first place, but took on one of the things that in 1991, 10 years before he released his film, two friends of mine from NASA told me we didn't go to the moon. I couldn't process the words coming out of their mouth. 10 years later, in fact, probably even 15 years later, when I first saw one of the most amazing movies called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon by Bart Sibrel, my mind opened, and that opened me to everything else. And I want to welcome onto the show Mr. Bart Sibrel. When I had a show before this one where I had my partner was about 7 years older than me, and he said that when the moon mission happened, he saw it live. And I don't know if anyone's asked you if you were old enough to see it live and remember it on TV.
Well, I was old enough in a way. I was 4 and a half, but I think it was central time around 9:30, 10:30, something like that. And that was past my bedtime. I couldn't stay up that late, you know. I was asleep in bed. However, my father was in the Air Force as an officer, and he got a VIP package of 9x12 color prints of the first mission to the moon, and they were a cherished present. I had them up on my bedroom wall for 10 years. So from the age of 4 to 14, I saw them over 3,665 times, right? So that's a lot of imprinting. I thought it was the most marvelous thing. And then when I was 14, after seeing them for 10 years every day, I saw Bill Kasing on Oprah, or no, it's actually a magazine program, although he did Oprah before then. And he said, you know, they didn't go to the moon. And that kind of planted a seed in my brain, and I went to my bedroom wall, and sure enough, it was like my eyes were wide shut or something. And I saw them with new perspective, things that were right there in front of you. I mean, the most famous shot, the guy's arm is bent like this in the picture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to have pressure in it. Why are there wrinkles? Have you ever seen any wrinkles in a balloon?
Right, right.
And so there's so much information. Just there's like 7 or 8 clues. His antenna is cut off. Where's his antenna? Because the background, he was up on cables or something. The cables, even though they were black, showed up. So they very quickly pasted black tape on top. And you'll see in certain prints, the background below the backpack is one black, and above the black backpack, it's a different shade of black. Now, they corrected that later, but in early prints, it's a straight line across of a different shade of black, and there's no antenna. They cut off the antenna because they were covering something up, probably cables or something. Then the background wall and the soil in earlier pictures, not in later pictures. You have to find books from like 1975, something like that. And the soil is brown, and the soil behind him is blue. I mean, they're two completely different colors. And so then they color corrected it, and now it's all blue. I mean, there's so many clues right in that one picture. So then another 10 years go by, Mark, and I'm 24. Now I'm a filmmaker, and guess I'm editing one day a film for the guy who made the TV show with the guy saying we didn't go to the moon. I'm like, who is that guy on your show? And he's like, oh, I don't remember. Call the San Francisco office. I did. They said, Mr. Sibrel, we were 2 days away from deleting all 10-year-old files to make room in our archives. Going to throw everything away. Had you called 2 days later, we would have never been able to tell you who the guy was. So I got his name and contacted him from a payphone just in case this whole thing ended up being true. Just to be on the safe side. And within a couple of minutes, you could tell he was the real person, very grandfatherly or whatever. And he said, hey, you should make a film about it. And I basically took off 6 months. I paid myself a salary, whatever I was making back then, pretty decent to live. And for 6 months, I just did research how the shadows that should be parallel from sunlight, they intersect. Three of the or two of the three astronauts never give interviews. The administrator of NASA resigned. The Soviets did everything first, the first man, the first woman, the first animal, everything. And the expressions on their faces, like they're at a funeral instead of winning the Super Bowl. I said, you know, there's at least a 1 out of 4 chance they faked it. And considering if it were real, you know, that's a 1 out of 4 chance I could be risking my life looking into it. So I said, I want to have a wife and family someday. I decided I didn't want to do it. I turned down the project. And then 5 years go by, another client said, hey, Bart, read the Bible and we'll give you an open door to get your script to this famous producer. So I bought a 1-year Bible. I read it, I think, 5 times from cover to cover, 5 years by. So I've read the Bible now 5 times. Still didn't understand it. It's like reading the book, How to Play the Piano by Beethoven, but having no teacher. And you're playing with 2 fingers 5 years later. But anyway, I did have the understanding that there is right and wrong. There is a distinction. Obviously, rape is wrong and murder is wrong. Stealing is wrong. I mean, there are certain things that are obvious. And if that's the case, then there are forces at work, seen and unseen, go in one direction and go in the other direction. So you have to make a decision what is morally right. If they did not go to the moon, you see, Mark, that's more profound than if they'd actually gone. Imagine they could go to the moon, they could put something up there, or they couldn't do it. They embezzled billions of dollars and they murdered people to keep it a secret. That's more profound than if they'd actually gone. That's more profound of an event historically, and it ends up being true. So I changed my mind. We raised $500,000 from an aerospace board member at NASA. Building rockets for NASA is the guy who financed our film, and he wishes to remain anonymous. And I don't want to ruin his career or make his stock go down.
Do say thank you next time you talk to him.
Yes, all the time. But in any case, and then, I, you know, 3.5 years into a 5-year film, I thought, just like some Americans thought, we'll never see a black president in my lifetime, especially African-Americans. They said that. They were wrong. Thank goodness we proved at least we're not racist. That happened historically. It was a great moment for the African-American people. And but I said kind of the same thing. We'll never know in my lifetime whether they went wrong. I was just like they were. I put in a tape one day. It said, do not show to the public on the screen. And I'm like, what? What's on the label and on the tape are 2 different things. They put it the wrong label on it, and it got put in the public pile, but way down at the bottom, second from the end. And most reporters asked for the first few tapes. I said, send me everything. Every picture, every video, every film from just the first mission, because I figured if they faked it, they're more likely to have made a mistake the first time they faked it. So let's focus on that mission. If that's fake, then they're all fake. Because if one Volkswagen can't go 1,000 miles an hour, none of them can. So if they couldn't go to the moon, that means none of them did. And then we analyze this tape, and it's them faking a shot of the photography with a model, making a 1-foot model of the Earth, pretending they're halfway to the moon. And you hear the CIA in a private channel telling them to only talk after 4 seconds go by to give this impression that they're further away from the Earth than they really were. And the shot is beautiful. They use a circular window and the Earth fills a portion of it, and they put the camera back and they turn off the lights and it looks like the Earth floating in space, and they say we're far away from the Earth, but it's really the window. And we
Let me ask you, when I watched that in your movie, I heard the words coming through beautifully, and it took me like 4 or 5 watches to know what the heck I'm looking at. So how long did it take you to figure out what
about
you were looking
at? About 4 or 5 watches.
And then, okay, because, so you're the first person in the world to see this, really, and how?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Okay, here's what happened, okay? So I'm trying to finish up the film. It's nonlinear editing. We had nonlinear editing back then, and which is part of how they faked the moon landing, but another story. And so I'm trying to finish up the film, and I'm looking for the launch in real time, 1 minute to zero without edits, because it's kind of dramatic whether they went to the moon or not. They did go into Earth orbit, and that is no small feat even today. So they did it in 1969. It's a brilliant feat to get into Earth orbit back then, but that's all they did. And so we have them faking being halfway to the moon, which means they couldn't go halfway. They cannot leave Earth orbit. And what a surprise, 50 years later, the farthest we can go is Earth orbit. So to say they went 1,000 times farther with 50-year-old technology on the first attempt, and it can't be repeated by any nation on Earth 50 years later, that's a pretty unusual claim. In fact, it's the only time in world history a milestone was made, like crossing the Atlantic in an airplane, or Columbus, or the Wright brothers, or breaking the sound barrier. It's the only time in the entire history of technology that once a milestone was made, nobody, including the people who claim they did it, could not repeat it for more than 50 years. It's the only time that's happened.
And I'll tell you, the analogy I do is that if you take 236,000 miles as the average, or 37 or whatever, and you divide a wall from the floor to the ceiling, you get about a centimeter for every 1,000 miles. And if you think about the fact that in Apollo 9, we only got to about 200 miles up, we're talking about we only got two millimeters off the ground on all the missions before, and then the very next thing with Apollo 10, we go all the way to the ceiling, circle around, and come all the way back. And that's just the magnitude of...
Yeah, and the great thing is on this tape, they say, that as they're faking the shot, this is the way 10 did it. Well, what are they talking about? Apollo 10. Any time a mission claimed to orbit the Earth with people, it never happened, which means Apollo 10 didn't happen. I think they did it on Apollo 8. I'll have to double check my memory, but I think they did it on 8 and 10. And then, of course, they did it on the six missions and the alleged seventh that allegedly orbited the moon, Apollo 13. And on April 13th at 13:13 military time.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know.
I mean,
that.
Come on. Someone's having fun with
Masonic
this.
Much? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, yeah. People were complaining after they, I mean, imagine Mark right now, we'd say we got to take a break. They're planting a flag for the very first time at the South Pole. Right now, let's take a break. We watch it. Of course we watch it. But let's say a year from now, we're having another interview and they're doing it a second time. Are we watching it the second time? Of course we're not. We're continuing the interview. And that's what happened when they went to the moon the second time. People were
that's like, a great analogy.
We have a lot of more missions coming here. We need some moolah off of this thing. I mean, a moon rover, $60 million. I mean, it has fewer parts than a Jeep at $60 million.
You have probably one of the most, in making this documentary, you have one of the most unique positions to have had the conversation with people coming from a level of authority. Do you find that people that actually saw it on TV have an extra level of just impossible resistance to get over that hump?
Yeah. What it is, Mark, it's kind of the opposite of the following. Let's say you're here in Chicago and I say, I want to take you to this great restaurant and it's got the best steak and everything. So we get there and the service is great and you're about to, and the steak looks fabulous, smells good. Right before you cut in it, a cockroach crawls across the plate. Runs off the table.
I've had that happen twice.
Yeah. And I say, you know, this is my favorite restaurant. I've seen him before, and I've seen mice run across the plate. Still a great. So 50 years from now, what do you remember about that restaurant? You remember the great service, aren't you? No, you remember how great the steak smelled. No, you remember the cute waitress. No, you remember the cockroach. And once that is burned in, you cannot unburn it. And once people cried, oh, my God, they said, remember, out of the overflowing of the heart, the mouth speaks, when the rocket launched, my God. It has become their God because I talked to a professor at a major university, a professor at one of the top universities in the country, and I asked him, he was adamant we went to the moon, how dare you say otherwise, people are not that wicked to fake it. Hello, children are being molested, genocide for your religion in the tens of millions. And someone wouldn't lie on a test? I mean, come on. And so he said, or I asked him, if you saw one of the Apollo astronauts tearfully confess on national TV, he lied, he's sorry, what would you think then? He said, I still think they went.
Oh, my gosh.
I think he went crazy.
Mm.
So he says he knows better than the man who was there because he saw it on television.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Congress passed a law after the quiz show scandal, right? Time magazine had on the cover the smartest man in America in the late 1950s. It's a major. They made a film about it. It's called the quiz show scandal.
I've seen that, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was the smartest man in America as long as he got the answers in advance, which is the key to his success. And when that came out, there were congressional hearings Time Magazine was wrong. Time Magazine was deceived, just like they put a man on the moon. They were deceived. And so Congress wrote a law, television cannot be an instrument through which to lie.
Oh, my gosh.
And what did they do with Apollo 11? And then after World War II ended, to say we're not going to be continue spying on everybody, they said propaganda is illegal. Now, I know they recently reversed that like 6 months ago, but that wasn't reversed in 1969, was it? So not only did they use television to lie, they also were using it as propaganda, both of which are felonies. So the government committed two felonies.
Interesting.
The government is a felon.
Yeah.
The government is an uncaptured, at-large felon.
Interesting. Okay,
I'm sorry,
so
can I send somebody? I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm gonna follow up with you.
But I'm hearing there are people at the door now. I've got to go.
Yeah, right. So, okay.
Hey, Mark, I have a question for you real quick.
Yeah.
How many CIA agents does it take to screw in a light bulb?
No idea.
Well, I could tell you, but
I'd have to kidding. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So just before your film came out, and I wasn't aware of your film coming out, but you know, I think I saw it about 2006 or 7 because you were gracious enough to share it online. There was this weird video that I saw when I was working at Electronic Arts where an astronaut's coming down the stairs and a big light goes slamming in front of the screen. Have you ever seen this film?
Oh, yeah, it's very funny. Some filmmaker made it in his garage.
Is that it?
Did it? Of course.
Okay.
It's a fake film that some filmmaker made in his garage.
Okay.
It's like a guy at my level, filmmaker, and financially up one step, and his friends are like that. They have plenty of money, and they have studios, and they would do that for fun as a joke, whether we went to the moon or not. They don't care. They don't have anything to do with about it. It's a joke to them. And it's very funny. I thought it looked beautiful. But, you know, but people take it as the real thing, whatever. They still didn't go to the moon. I mean, that's why there's the whole flat Earth thing. When Bill Kaysing was on Oprah, as soon as Bill Kaysing was he worked at NASA for 6 years building the Apollo rocket. He edited memos, so he saw the whole thing that they tried to departmentalize to keep it a secret. He saw everything. He had top secret clearance. He saw memos that said the odds of them going and coming back alive are 1 in 10,000. I mean, the 747 was built 10 years after going to a moon, and millions of aircraft had already been built, and it took 3 years longer to develop than the moon rocket with 10 years newer technology, and it took 160 attempts to get the fuselage off the ground before the engines worked. And the Wright brothers, 20 attempts before they got on the ground, and yet the most complicated one, done with 1/1000th of the computing power as a cell phone, they did it on the first occasion. That's never been done in the entire history of aviation, except the most difficult thing ever done.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing about that footage where that light came down was that you go and look it up. I remember doing this in like 2000, and they said that the director had already died.
Well, the whole thing about this is if they come up with evidence and the evidence proves to be false, then that must mean we went to the moon. That's their whole point about this disinformation. The shoes on the boot don't match. They do match. They had plastic, you know, coveralls that went over the flat thing. The point is, that's rubber. Now, if I take a piece of rubber, just like it, I have a pair of shoes just like that that have spikes in them for the snow, and they're made out of that exact same type of rubber. If I put it in the oven at 250 degrees, I don't think it would be covered by the warranty. I think I would have a pile.
Yeah.
I think I would have a pile of silly putty with a bunch of spikes coming out of it all in one spot. You know what I mean? So how could the rubber, I mean, why don't you look into that? How could the rubber not melt at 250 degrees? It's just silicone rubber or something. You know?
I know. Well, the whole thing about the SpaceX car in space and the claims of how hot it is in the sun and how hot it is in the shadows on the moon being about a 500 degree swing, that car would have just exploded in space, you know, because you have the dashboard that's in the light and the dashboard turns and it's in the shadow and it's one big piece of plastic that is basically back in the kiln, you know, according to their ridiculous assumptions about the moon being so hot and cold all the time. But let me ask you, so you talked about being freaked out the first time you contemplated making a moon mission or moon hoax.
Oh, I didn't actually. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't actually.
But then there's like you actually did it. And then after you did it, how is your fear levels going up and down as a result?
Well, I'll tell you that. So I went off on another tangent. But basically, So I pop in the tape. I'm looking for the moonshot all the way through, you know what I mean? But they're not sending it to me. They know I need it to finish the film. And then they, like, send me the wrong footage. And I'm like, okay, I need, you know, the countdown edited. They send me the wrong footage again. Okay, I said, you understand, Apollo 11, countdown, not edited, film or video. They sent me the wrong footage the third time, knowing I needed to finish the film. And then when I asked for it the fourth time, they say, well, you know, we have a new policy. We're going to pay for your postage. They never paid for anything. You always pay for the postage. So now they're going to pay for my postage, but it's going to take a little bit longer because of the red tape. So I know something's up. I call up Bill, and I'm like, I think they're onto us. They know what we're doing. And then when the phone call is interrupted by the shriek. So the right before that, I pop in the tape. It says, do not show to the public. And as normal, hit fast forward, which is 30 times speed. And I can kind of tell when you're an editor, you can learn. It's the same shot, wiggling around. But it's the same shot for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. I'm like, oh, this is unedited footage. I asked for it, never got any. Rewind it from the top. You hear NASA say the TV picture looks good. And then 4 seconds go by exactly. And then you hear on a third channel, completely different EQ, crystal clear, talk.
Hello, Apollo 11. Houston, Goldstone says that the TV looks great. Over.
Talk. Okay, Roger.
Talk. And then Neil Armstrong answers the question. If he had answered the question right away, it would mean he's really close to the Earth, which is what he was, about 200 miles in orbit. So they had to count off 4 seconds, 2 seconds radio signal there, 2 seconds back. Actually, it would have been much, much longer. Right now, there's a 4 second delay between Iraq and America with fast digital equipment. So with all that analog equipment, we're talking like 8 to 12 seconds delay. You know what I mean? Tremendous amount of delay in reality if they were really that far. And so I hear that and I'm looking at it and I'm like, what is this? And what gave it away is, you know how a window in a ship, like they're kind of thick. They're kind of like, you know, waterproof or something. And of course the windows in a spacecraft are like that. You know, they're sealed. And it looked exactly the same, like one of these thick, you know, on a ship, you know, and I'm like, that's not a window. No, that's not the window. No. And then they turn up the lights and the camera's back here, even though they said for television, hey, we have one window and the lens is at the glasses. It have to be to shoot the tiny Earth far away. But they're faking it and they talk about how they're faking it. And we see that. We hear the CIA. And I'm like, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Wait a minute. Let me figure this out here. They're pretending to be halfway to the moon. That's clear. It's not really halfway to the moon. So if they're pretending to be halfway to the moon, that means they couldn't go halfway to the moon. And if they can't go halfway to the moon, it means they didn't go to the moon. If they didn't go to the moon, then it's really, really, really faked. And I started saying, oh my God, about 100 times in 2 minutes. I had a blind roommate and a toddler son as a single parent. And what have I gotten myself into? I'm in deep trouble. That's when I called the Bill. I said, don't sleep where you slept last night. They're onto us, and we hear the shriek. It's what I did. I thought I could out with the CIA. So naive. We'll get everybody on scrambled phones. That's what we need to do.
Oh, okay.
That was the big mistake. That's a big flag. Anything on the internet that's scrambled, they focus in on
yeah,
that.
Right. You're totally decrypted. No one pays any attention.
So that was a big mistake. Hey, we got to get our phones scrambled. It's like $800 a month per phone or something ridiculous. And that was what got us into trouble.
Now, what trouble? So you released this film, and obviously someone's paying attention. It's a beautiful film. It's really accessible to everyone. So it's more of a threat because grandma could watch it and understand it, and which is great filmmaking at its best. So what happens afterwards? Does anyone say anything to you? Any weird phone calls?
Well, no. All that stuff happened after we found the footage and after the screech in the phone.
Okay. Right. So before you were even done.
That stuff happened.
Before you were even done with the film, it started.
Oh yeah, long before.
Okay.
When it was a year and a half before we finished the film, that's when we found the secret footage. That's when it's like, I was wrong. We do have proof, you know. There'll never be a black president in my lifetime wrong. There'll never be proof that we didn't go to the moon in my lifetime. Wrong. It's in my house. I panicked. Oh, my gosh. I have proof the moon landings are fake in my house. What have I done? What have I gotten myself into? And then getting everyone on scrambled phones, big mistake. And then followed, and just it goes. I can't even go into detail. It'll be in my book.
Oh,
come
great.
Out in June of 2019. A funny thing happened on the way to. You'll hear the backstory, the CIA chases, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. X-Files, beyond belief, real stuff. That happened. Unbelievable. I mean, if I told you, it's just unbelievable. It's just, you wouldn't even believe it. But I'm going to put it in the book anyway, and people can judge for themselves.
Okay, so then I'll pull that question and I'll say that. Okay, so you go into this next film. So you release your first film. How many months, years did it take you to come up with The Astronauts Gone Wild? Because it is an amazing feat.
Like a year later. Well, like a year later or something. I guess from watching TV dramas as a kid, you know, will you swear you're telling the truth? So I said, hey, why don't we just track down these guys at public events or set up an interview with them? Half of them, all I said was, is I'm, you know, a filmmaker and doing a documentary about the moon landings, which is true, right? He assumed that I was a sucker and believed they're real. But, I used to be a sucker. I was part of Suckers Anonymous for many years, but I was converted and I graduated. I got my coin.
Yeah, exactly. Truth. You got your 20-year
truth.
Coin.
Truth. I've been in truth now for a few years. And so it's just an incredible experience. And so I had this, a year goes by, the film's been out, and people still say the window shot is not what they're saying. What they said is, yes, they're faking, they're pretending to be halfway to the moon because they're rehearsing. You see, for the television transmission, I said, but wait a minute, you wouldn't bring all this extra equipment at $1 million or seven, or what in today's dollars, it's $12 million a minute in today's dollars. So why not just use the real Earth out the window? If you're really halfway to the moon, why not rehearse with the real Earth out the window? Why would you have to make a fake Earth if you really went? And so they're basically saying the footage is false, which means they didn't go to the moon. So even the detractors are admitting, really, that it's fake. NASA has admitted indirectly it's fake a couple of times.
Well, we'll talk about Project Orion in a second.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, so how, because, I feel like if you make your first film, and especially if you just said that you were encountering some surveillance and all kinds of crazy stuff during the making of your first film, it blows my mind to this day that you were actually able to get in and talk to everyone, and that they didn't coordinate their stories. Like, it was the worst.
Yeah, and the only thing I thought about that too, Mark, and I'm thinking the only reason why they didn't warn these guys is because they don't like them. Yes, of course. There are nationwide, I believe, if I'm correct, about 20 million government employees, and that includes federal, state, and local, 20 million. Now, if 10% of those are corrupt, that's an army of 2 million people. If 1% of them are corrupt, that's an army of 200,000 individuals in the government at federal, state, and local levels who are sincerely faking the moon landing with intention, murdering people. I mean, I think the Declaration of Independence said we have the right to life. And when they murder their own astronauts who will not comply, you know, they've already broken the two felonies, right, about propaganda and lying through television. Now they're guilty of homicide. You see, I've spoken with the widow and the son, who's a 747 pilot of Gus Grissom. I've talked to them for hours together, at least 8 hours altogether. And they know for a fact the Apollo 1 fire was set deliberately. They know that for a fact.
And was it, in the end, is it the switch that was replaced that they think?
Well, I don't want to go into it.
Because I thought the son had recently come out and said that he had tracked down a switch that replaced the day before, and that it might have been the spark or whatever. But anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Well, yeah, they did have, there's all sorts of, I got the Apollo 1 accident reports, like this thick Reddit. There's there was a dip in electrical power right before the fire, which means something was clamped into it that wasn't supposed to be and sucked power off of it. Then they were buckled in when they removed the corpses. So if you saw a fire, you would unbuckle yourself. So that means they were dead before the fire. There were cyanide gas found. They had cyanide capsules that would drop in or something like that, like a gas chamber. It gassed them. Then there was the fire to destroy the forensic evidence of the cyanide. Because maybe they could get out in time. Maybe, who knows whether they would or they wouldn't get out in time. And they wanted to, he wouldn't cooperate. He said the thing was a lemon on national TV.
I know. And they said that he had shown, I always see this hanger with the lemon through it. Like someone had hung that up. And there's a CG one out there. Someone actually made in a computer. But I was trying to find a real photograph of that and I couldn't find it. But,
well, that's based on the account of people who were there. His son told me that. I mean, his son told me the story. He wasn't there, but he heard through other astronauts, you know, who are his friends. So,
okay, so you've done this, these two incredible films. And then you wake us all up. So this whole other generation, literally what you tried to do, you accomplished it tenfold, in my opinion. Now there's obviously some disinfo videos, but there's some great videos out there where people are looking at different things. It also grabs the footage that has been out there before you made your films and gives it a platform to be seen. And the one thing I was going to ask you about is I think it's an astronaut's nephew went into a museum and got preferential treatment, and he brought a measuring tape with him. And he was starting to measure the holes of the Apollo capsule and finding out that, you know, inflated, they couldn't get in and out of the doors because they're bigger than the doors. I started doing a analysis on boosters and the lunar module. And the boosters, you know, mechanics would be way up inside the actual living compartment, that kind of stuff. Is there anything you've seen since you made your films that you went, wow, that's amazing, and you hadn't thought of it before or seen it before?
Well, I mean, there's really more proof they did not go than proof that they did. First, there's simply the logic that if they could go to the moon on the first attempt with 1960s equipment, people would have been on Mars 25 years ago.
We'd be driving there for lunch.
Well, it would probably be tourist travel to the moon, at least, if it were that easy back then. And, which, you know, obviously they didn't. They can't do it today. They launched the Orion project. It goes up into the radiation belt, which is why they couldn't leave Earth orbit. Plus, they didn't have enough fuel. In any case, they say the radiation is lethal. They say the technology to protect astronauts going through it has yet to be invented. So then what? Then how did they go through it to the moon? You know, it makes sense. Unbelievable. They just admitted they didn't go to the moon. And then when I asked to talk to the guy, they forbid it. And then when I asked for the Geiger counter readings, they had two Geiger counters. That was the whole point of the mission, is to measure the radiation. I said, hey, you know, I'm a taxpayer. This is a taxpayer-funded project. I have a right to that information. Give me the Geiger counter readings. They said, I'm sorry, Mr. Sobral, that information is classified. And I said, wait a minute. When you send probes to the sun, is the temperature of the sun classified? When you send probes to Jupiter, is the amount of helium in Jupiter's atmosphere, is that classified? No. Then why would the amount of radiation, a part of nature, be classified? The only reason is if they showed that it was lethal, it would prove they never went to the moon. Therefore, they can't release that information. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Do you ever look at the whole ISS conspiracy that it's not really there? I mean, if you and I both believe they can get to low orbit, you know, this thing doesn't have any construction video. They always seem to film it from mysterious cameras outside of it. There does, you know, this idea of it's underwater and the particles going in front. It looks like China tried to do some weird stuff where like particles are going against the mask. And do you spend any time looking at that sort of thing, the Mars rovers, or do you just like, hey, I'm good?
I'm good. You know, they can orbit the Earth. They proved that in the Apollo missions, Mercury and Gemini missions. They did orbit. It was extremely difficult to fake zero gravity, especially in 1969. So the tuna can spinning around and the toothbrush going by, that is definitely zero gravity. No question about it. Which means they were in Earth orbit. And that way they could launch in front of people, right? They could come down in front of people. You would do as much of it real as you could. Maybe you could land, but you couldn't get out and walk, then you would land. If you could orbit the moon but not land, you'd orbit the moon to get the... But they cannot leave Earth orbit, which means That's it. That's all we can do. There's not enough fuel for one. Von Braun said he had to ferry it up to a space station first. And the space station wasn't finished until a couple of years ago. Now, whether they're faking part of the Mars mission or part of Earth orbit, they could be. I would say there's probably at least three space stations up there. Why does it take 2 days or 4 days to go 200 miles up? I just don't understand this. And then the Soviets somehow do it in one quarter of the time, and they said, oh, yeah, yeah, they got a better math formula than we do.
Oh, sure. So there is, like, in, you know, I'm very into visual effects here in Hollywood, and there are definitely shots where they're using harnesses and someone grabs the guy's harness next to him to stop him from flopping around, and you can see he pulls on wire that's not on film.
Maybe the space station, maybe it left Earth orbit. Maybe they did ferry enough fuel. Maybe they do have the capability of gradually pushing through the poles or somewhere where there's no radiation. Maybe they're on a mission to save the Earth from a comet or asteroid. Therefore, if they told us what they were really doing with that space station, everyone would panic and stocks would drop and grocery stores would be empty. So what they've done is they have a mock one for the one that's off on some secret mission.
Armageddon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all that stuff is a lot of truth in that. You know, meteors have happened. It's only a matter of time. Or solar flare. I mean, we missed the lethal solar flare a few years ago by just like being behind where it appeared in Earth orbit by 6 weeks or something. And we wouldn't be talking now. We'd both probably be dead by now from lack of food and water. You know, it almost happened and it could happen again. And
well, my thing with that is that I did a show on NASA selling doom, which is sort of how they keep themselves important. You know, like, you need us to get rid of meteorites and all this other stuff. I did this episode called Do Craters Exist? And I've been to the Arizona crater 6 times in my lifetime, but then I went to Diamond Head in Hawaii, and I was like, wait a minute, these things look exactly the same. And then it started dawning on me that every single crater everywhere is pretty much perfectly circular, which if you've seen anyone throw a rock into a beach or whatever on the sand, it never happens like that. You know, it comes in at a slightly different trajectory than exactly straight down to create this perfect round circle. But if you look at the moon, every single crater is perfectly round. If you take Diamond Head and the crater in Arizona, put them close to each other, they're identical in composition. And so it seems to me like maybe the moon was boiling at some point, and just that's what all that stuff is. We see the craters that glow in the center, which could be its old connection to its volcanic roots. But I didn't know if you'd ever contemplated that, because there's some things we're looking at, we're told it's what they are, and we don't think twice. We just go, oh yeah, sure, every single crater everywhere is perfectly round. There's never that Superman, you know, ship coming in from Krypton hitting and creating a nice slide. It's like there's none of those craters anywhere on the moon. You think after 100,000 to 1 million craters, it'd be one that came in at a weird trajectory. So I don't know if you'd ever heard that theory before.
No. There's only so many hours in the day. and if these criminals who faked the moon landing, let's say did JFK, 9/11, the Gulf of Tonkin, let's say they're all the same group of people, they are at large. So if we want to survive, and morally and politically, I mean, kind of constitutionally, moreover, then that needs to be addressed. And it's a little more important than whether craters are, no offense, triangular or whatever. You know what I mean? This whole thing, you know, Bill Casey's on Oprah, and so they immediately say, oh, and you think the Earth is flat. And then 30 years go by, my film comes out, and you also think the Earth is flat. Obviously, the Earth is round. Things form bubbles underwater. Gravity is the same way. It's like water around a bubble. It puts everything into a sphere. Same thing with bubbles from a scuba diver, bubbles in the air. Gravity, dark matter, presses against objects that forms them into a sphere. That's just what happens. I don't know. I think it's some big joke. The Jesuit priests or something are laughing. You used to be killed for saying it was round. So why would they now reverse their thing and kill you for, So they wanted you to believe it was flat, which was a lie. So I don't know, they're just trying to distract people. They're saying you must be that crazy. And what they're really saying is you're crazy if you believe the truth. because they did fake the moon landing. It's 100% fact. We have proof of them faking a shot on camera and the CIA telling them how to do it. If that doesn't convince you, and the shadows intersecting and the floating around being slow motion that we can prove right in front of you, I mean, I don't know what to say. And then Von Braun saying you needed to ferry fuel to a space station first, and the radiation hit the Van Allen saying from the 50s, it's 10 to 100 times a lethal dose. He put it in writing, 1957 in Scientific American magazine. That's included. Just link this article, Mark, at the end of the video, to the Sleuth Journal article that has the films in it, all the information. There's so much more evidence that they didn't go. I mean, again, if they could go on their first attempt with 1969 equipment, then there would have been bases there by now. People would have been on Mars 25 years ago. It's illogical. That's like saying they broke the sound barrier in 1947, but 50 years later, no one can do it. Give me a break.
Yeah. Well, the Project Orion, I think, is one of the linchpins for me is the ridicule that we're all crazy, that this, you know, this Van Allen belt barrier, among other technical difficulties, it doesn't exist. Astronauts going, well, it must not have been lethal. We flew right through it. And then all of a sudden you greenlight a project. Then you cancel it the second that all of us on the internet went, hey, there it is right there. We didn't go. Project Orion. And someone in NASA is going, who the hell told someone that we got this Project Orion, you know? And so that for me is a huge validation of the whole thing. So just to recap your offerings, because I'm going to put all the links in this video. You have two primary films, right? Is there a third film I've missed?
Well, no, not really. I mean, you can just link this article or just link Sibrel, my last name, Sibrel.com. That has all the links in there. And you can see for yourself, I mean, the fact is they did fake the moon landing. The fact is Oswald did not kill Kennedy. And the fact is, you know, the buildings, at least Building 7, was collapsed by explosives. And that takes like 2 days to wire. I mean, imagine there were 2,000 aerospace people who said we didn't go to the moon. That'd be incredible evidence. We don't even have that. And they still didn't go to the moon. So they have that. It's like, and no one does anything about it. I just don't understand this. They say, you know, they lost $4 billion in cash like 15 years ago. Remember that? And it never makes the news except on Comedy Central. Comedy Central. What about day 444 of the missing $4.5 billion?
Yeah, it's no good, man. Know? Yeah.
Gee whiz, the biggest crime of the century, and it's a side note.
So you're working on a book. Do you?
Yeah.
I know how books work. You shouldn't really tell us your name yet, but you're thinking midsummer?
No, it's called The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. It's just the backstory of making of the film, my adventures and trials and tribulations making it, and why they didn't go, and links to the films and links to the evidence, and why, if you're really a true patriot, the government needs to tell the truth about it. Otherwise, the corruption is just going to mold the rest of the infrastructure morally and physically and ethically and everything. I mean, they're giving Congressional Medal of Honor to people who lied. For lying. What did they do? Go to the moon. What did they not do? Go to the moon. So they lied. They're giving a Congressional Medal of Honor for lying. That is our country. These are the heroes. And I get punched in the face for telling the truth. You know what I mean? Like, does anyone care? This is the state of things. If so, do something about it.
I swear especially to God, you government. It looked like you almost had Buzz confessing in that room. Like, he was just a hair away.
Well, he did confess. He did confess. He said,
we're just passengers.
We were only passengers, and he was allegedly the pilot. He said, and you're doing this to become famous. Well, how can I become famous if I'm wrong? He said, oh, and this makes you a famous person forever. He thought that the news had broke. We had two professional cameras there, right? He thought the story had broken worldwide for about 3 minutes. This is the separate interview of the punch, which was later. And he said, oh, and this makes you a famous person. That's saying I'm right.
Yeah.
And he said, I was only a passenger. That's saying I'm right. And then when he figured that out, he said, if you show this to anybody of me confessing indirectly, I'll sue you. I'm like, come on, sue, please. Let's yeah. Go to court and have you swear under oath and show the window shot and see what people think. You know, have a panel of filmmakers testifying it's fake. Have Kelly Smith come forward, subpoena him, right? And let's see what happens.
I assume the answer to the question is no, but did you cut anything from either one of your films that later on you were like, ah, man, you know, that was actually, you should have done
not
that.
Really, other than there's at the very end of Astronauts Gone Wild, we have a shortened version of me being chased by the CIA, a kind of mock comedy film. And there's a director's cut version on my website under Sibrel's Moon Landing Films, about six or seven down, called Getting Waxed, the, you know, director's cut. It's like a 6-minute version. That was the only dispute with the exec. He liked, and it was a good jump to the punchline edit. He's a pretty good editor. He's got a good eye. But I kind of like the dialogue and everything. So you should go and watch the full version of Getting Waxed by the CIA.
On that note, I'm going to say we're going to put all the links down below. That way that nothing dates on screen. You know, I would recommend everyone to get a copy of everything that Bart sells, simply just to support and say thank you for this amazing contribution.
Oh, I have autographed DVDs.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. I need to get my Sharpie, version.
Got my Sharpie right
Hell
here.
Yeah.
Testing one too. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't have said that. Cut that out.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, you are our very first person I've ever interviewed. It'll be all quirky and strange, but it'll be awesome at the same time. So,
all right.
Super appreciate everything on a personal level, and thank you from Deep Thoughts Radio.
No problem, Mark. Right. You take care.
All right. Bye-bye.